Attorney Jim Griffin to begin the meeting.
Thank you. Good evening. First, we'll go over briefly the procedural rules that we'll follow tonight. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to raise your hand so we can clear up any procedural questions. When county council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. They listen to the information and use that information to make decisions on the applications. The way we will start this is there are four applications tonight, two conditional uses and two change of zones. At the beginning of each, Mr. Lank, who is the Director of Planning and Zoning, will give council a brief summary of the application, what it's asking for, and what happened with that application in connection with the hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. He'll also tell council whether the Planning and Zoning Commission took action to recommend or whether they deferred. If they deferred, council will also defer until council gets a recommendation from the commission. After Mr. Lank gives that information on each application, we will call on the person who filed the application or whoever may be here representing them to get up and explain the application and tell us why they or their client believes the application should be granted. After the plaintiff or their representative explains each application, we will call on members of the public at each in connection with each hearing. If any of you have any questions, opposition, you will be given an opportunity. If there are more than one of you, be patient and we'll recognize everybody who wishes to speak. When you speak in these sessions, we ask that whatever position you're taking, that you come down to the front, stand at the podium, tell us your name and your address. The reason for that is that we have to be able to tell who's making each statement in case there should be an appeal and a record has to be prepared. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. If someone speaks on an application and says something you agree with, we ask that you not applaud or cheer. We don't need that type of emotion because we need just to get the facts on the record. Mr. Lank, can you tell us about CU 1773?
Yes, thank you. This is the application of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a convenience store with gas pumps and a car wash to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.047 acres, more or less, lying at the northwest corner of U.S. Route 113 and Route 16. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 16th of 2009. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Department of Transportation, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department. John Kemp of Rural Farm Stores was present with Zach Crouch, professional engineer of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Incorporated, and gave testimony. Mayor Dolores Price of Ellendale was present, spoke in support of the application. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1773 for Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Incorporated for a convenience store with gas pumps and a car wash based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this site is appropriate for a convenience store, gas pumps, and car wash since it is at the intersection of U.S. Route 113 and Route 16. This is a major intersection of two well-traveled roadways in Sussex County. Two, this site is the same location where a convenience store previously existed for many years, and the application is basically a redevelopment and improvement of the site. Three, the project will not have an adverse impact on traffic or neighboring properties. Four, the use is of a public or semi-public use that will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of the residents and visitors in Sussex County. Five, the neighboring town of Ellendale is in support of this project. And six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, all lighting shall be screened downward and away from neighboring and adjacent properties. Two, any trash dumpsters shall be screened from view. Three, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. Four, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. And five, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with those conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of council, I pass down a copy of the survey and site plan for this application. I received no additional comments, correspondence from any individual or agency since the April 16th public hearing. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lank?
Mr. Crouch, are you the representative?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Council, Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Fidel, 23 North Walnut Street, north of Delaware. Tonight we're here for a conditional use for a proposed road.
Could you pull those mics up a little, Zach?
Sure.
Yeah, pull right out to you.
The whole thing will rotate upward, I think.
Just speak up.
I'll just speak over. So tonight we're here for a conditional use for a proposed rural farms convenience store with 11 gas pumps, three diesel, which includes three diesel islands and eight regular gas pumps and a car wash. The proposed site is at the intersection of 16 and 113, which is actually the old deluxe dairy market. It's been there for several years. Apparently there was a the convenience store that existed was there for a long period of time, and actually was, I guess, was there before the zoning and conditional uses were ever considered way back in the day. So with the proposed site plan, we actually went in front of Planning Commission, and it was recommended that we just update the conditional use based on the revised site plan. So that's what we're here for tonight. As you well know, the existing site was an existing store, convenience store, which actually has been torn down. But there's four gas pumps that were located there and an existing sewer system. The property is actually in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District, and as part of this project, we would be removing that on-site system and tying into county sewer, in which there is a grinder pump station that is located on-site. The project also, the existing conditions also consist of one entrance out on 113, which was full access, and actually two entrances off of 16, which were full access. The proposed site would actually be improving the existing conditions. The proposed convenience store would be around 5,222 square feet with a 1,400 square foot car wash located in the northern property line. Utilities will consist of an on-site well, and the sewer would be connected to the sanitary sewer district. And the existing pump station or grinder E1 pump station is located in this vicinity here. So we would just utilize that as part of our hookup into the sewer district. And as part of the record, there has been comments submitted to the county engineering department to do so. Setbacks for this property, instead of using the AR setbacks, we are going to use the commercial setbacks just based on the use of the property itself. The project does not consist of wetlands, and we have already received approvals from the fire marshal, Denrex for notice of intent, and we received a letter from DelDOT actually today, which is a letter of no objection. Based on some improvements that they wanted us to do out on 113. There was a previous letter that was submitted on April 16th for planning and zoning from Mr. Ted Bishop, which was suggesting and recommending us to do some improvements, which would consist of moving the entrance out on 113 to the northernmost part of the property itself, and also installing an island to prevent traffic from crossing over 113 to make a left out at 16. So we made those corrections, and we received a letter of no objection today.
There's a 100-foot reservation for DelDOT. DelDOT's going to be doing improvements at this intersection, and for stormwater management, we reserved 100 feet for them to actually share in the stormwater management area of the site itself. The site would move the entrance from 113 intersection as far north as possible and actually eliminate the two entrances at 16
and have a entrance located as far as east as possible to the site on 16, which would eliminate one of the entrances that is shown on the previous existing site plan. In the letter from DelDOT, I mean, that was one of the issues that was brought up at planning and zoning that we had addressed as part of the letter of objection for this project. As Mr. Lank has noted, we have been through Planning Commission, and they have recommended a favorable approval for this project, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions from council?
The shrubs and whatnot, is that going to be part of the conditional use?
Or? Yes, that would be part of the buffering, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Griffin?
Do you plan to have anyone else from your team testify at this time?
No, I'm not. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll see if there's anyone else here. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in, either in support of or in opposition to this application? Let's start with anyone to speak in support. Okay, is there anyone here?
Sorry.
Yes, Mayor.
Mayor.
I couldn't see her for the tripod there.
You're going to have to whistle.
Hi.
Good evening. My name is Dolores Price. I am the mayor of Ellendale. And the address for the town hall is 300 Macaulay Avenue, Ellendale, Delaware, 19941. We approve the town council and the town of Ellendale are looking forward to having Royal Forum in our area because we feel that it is very needed. And it will serve the purpose of what the town needs. We need a convenience store back in that area again. Kind of feel like we're lost without it at this time. So we're approving it. And as you know, DelDOT has given them the right of way and everything that they need, taking in consideration the fact that DelDOT has some things that they were going to planning to do for that intersection. So I think all of that's been covered. So all I want to say tonight is we welcome Royal Farms in the Ellendale area.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak regarding this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to address council concerning this application. Would you like me to close the public hearing?
Please.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing. The title of this is ordinance, is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a convenience store with gas pumps and car wash to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4.047 acres, more or less.
Is there a council member who would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Mm-hmm. I have a motion and second to approve conditional use 1773.
Mr. President,
yes.
That shrubbery and those plantings, is it? I must have missed it. Is it one of the conditions on this here?
It wasn't referenced in the conditions.
I didn't see any reference of it in the conditions. Is that something we want to ask for?
If you'd like to. I believe, Mr. Griffin, we could still amend the conditions.
Oh, we'd have to reopen the public hearing, which we can do. And if you want to take action regarding the imposition of a condition that's in addition to those that were recommended by council, you would need to adopt a motion to amend those, to amend the conditions by adding the one you're relating to, and then the second motion to approve it with as amended.
We get all that trouble. Does the council members have any thoughts about this?
Well, can it be handled at the site, at the site plan level?
Why don't we take a vote on it and see if it passes? If we don't, we have to come back to what Joan requests.
Well, typically the stipulation reads that a landscape plan be submitted with the final site plan.
So it will be anyway, you're saying?
No, I say it should be a condition if you're going to, that way it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just state that a landscape plan shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission with the final site plan.
Well, it's being presented that way, so I just would.
Yeah, I understand. That's
yeah,
right.
Well, at this point, we have a motion and a second on the table. If you would like to.
I could withdraw those.
Withdraw your motion. Yeah, I believe you seconded the motion.
Yes, I did.
You apparently would like to withdraw that second?
Yes.
We still have a motion on the table. Is there a second to that motion to vote on this application as it currently stands? Okay.
What's the question?
There is a motion on the floor to vote on this application with the conditions as presented by planning and zoning. I will need a second for that motion to have validity at this point, and absent a second, we will then consider the potential of opening the public hearing again. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
No, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I'll make that motion then.
No, just a minute. I'm sorry. I'm not being clear. We currently have a motion on the table to vote on CU 1773. Mm-hmm. You withdrawn your second, so right. We need a second. It doesn't sound like we're going to get a second for that, so I will declare the motion to pass CU 1773. As dead. Okay. Ms. Deaver, if you would like to make a motion to reopen the public hearing.
I would like to do that. Yes, I would make that motion.
For the purpose of the landscape. Can we limit the purpose of reopening this or not?
Well, since the only public comment regarding this was a comment in support, I mean, I don't see that this is going to create a need to go back to the public, but we'll just ask if the public wants to be heard on the issue of landscaping, just to make sure it's in the record.
We have amended conditions.
We have a motion to reopen the public hearing. Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to reopen the public hearing. Any comments? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote no. Motion carried to reopen the public hearing. Mr. Griffin, could you please continue?
For anyone in the public who has any thoughts about the possibility that we would add a condition to say that a landscape plan shall be required to be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval with the final site plan.
Since there is none, Ms. Deaver, would you like to offer a motion?
I would like to offer that motion just as stated by our counselor.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to include in the conditions a requirement that a site landscaping plan be reviewed by planning and zoning at site plan review. If there's no comments, we'll vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. We would now entertain a motion to close the public hearing unless there is other comments by council.
Also move.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. Any comment by council? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, we're voting now on the application.
We're voting to close the public hearing.
Oh, close the public. Yes, I'll vote.
And I'll vote yes as well. Motion carried.
Confused.
I'm sorry. It's got to be done. We are now in a position to accept the motion, Ms. Deaver, to pass conditional use 1773 with the conditions as amended by council. Would you like to make that motion?
Yes, I would so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'll make. There is a motion and a second to pass conditional use 1773 with the conditions by planning and zoning with an additional condition by county council to add a landscape plan requirement to be reviewed by planning and zoning. Is there any other discussion?
You think you ought to recommend what kind of trees put in there?
Ms.?
No.
There is no specific trees required according to the person making the motion. If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote on passing conditional use 1773. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Ms. Reasons for your vote, please.
Oh, reasons. It's appropriate for the area. It will. It is something that's approved by the town. I think that it's. It was approved by our Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay, Mr. Benson?
I vote yes based on recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on PZ and also that they back where the old store was at, the old station. So nothing's really changed except just the name on the store station.
And Mr. Cole?
Yes, it's had a history of commercial activity.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Griffin, so we don't have to repeat this in the future. Prior to closing the public hearing, the council should make any adjustments to the conditions. Is that your recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Council, be aware before we allow the attorney to close the public hearing, if you have concerns about the conditions, that would be the appropriate time to discuss them.
Well, some of this stuff, I think some of the new people probably assume that it would be included in landscaping requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know, so right sometimes there. We
kind of got by me as well. Mr. Griffin, would you like to continue with the next application?
Yes. Mr. Lank, would you tell us about the next application?
Yes, thank you. The next application is conditional use number 1776, the application of Mark Schaefer to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a mini storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Big and Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 8.05 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 9, 500 feet west of Route 5 at Harbison. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on April 16th of 2009. We had received comments from DelDOT, Sussex Conservation District, the PLUS Preliminary Land Use Service, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also received letters expressing concerns from Thomas and Carolyn Klein and Alva and Jeanette Wagner, each expressing concerns about the number of buildings on the original site plan versus the number of buildings proposed by the applicant in the applicant's presentation to them. The original application showed 17 storage buildings and the current application is requesting 6. Mark Schaefer was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to leave the record open for a response from PLUS, being the Preliminary Land Use Service, and then for 10 business days after receipt of a PLUS response for written comments. We did receive on April 17th a copy of a correspondence dated April 17th through email between Connie Holland, the director of the Office of State Planning Coordination, and the applicant being Mark Schaefer. And we were advised that resubmittal through the PLUS process is not required since the revised site plan does not contain a buildings or combination of buildings exceeding 50,000 square feet. The commission did not act on the item under old business last week, and it will be back on the agenda before the commission at its next regular meeting, which is 14th, and I received no additional comments to date. I'll pass this down for you. The applicant did provide at the commission level, after having conversation with the two adjoining residents, three conditions they were offered. They are in the record other than my report, but that's just a copy of his comment. And I also have a copy of the correspondence that's in the form of email. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang? Being none, Mr. Griffin?
Mr. Schaefer, are you prepared to tell us about your application?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Mark Schaefer, 545 Cates Way, Smyrna, Delaware. Before I begin, I have received another letter of support this evening from the Harbison Homeowners Association, and if I could give that to Mr. Lang for the record.
Thank you.
I'd also like to point out that the letters you have from the neighbors are all in support of the application also. This facility will be a mini storage project, approximately 38,000 square feet, with a office and a apartment for a full-time manager that will live at the site. Mr. Lank has passed out three conditions that we would ask to be imposed at the facility. I think the most important one being that there will be no overhead lighting allowed. We typically do not put overhead lighting at our facilities anyway, and one of the neighbors had a question about that, and we think it's very reasonable to live up to that and not put overhead lighting. This facility will have a very low impact on the neighborhood. There's a very low traffic generation from a facility of this type. We also will be doing extensive cleanup of that whole entrance there. There's a very wide entrance way to those two properties now. We feel that will enhance safety tremendously. We're going to close down the surveyor's entrance as required by DLDOT and have a shared access through our facility. We've already installed some screening as requested by one of the neighbors. That was installed, I believe it was last week, but we're more than willing to do whatever screening the neighbors feel is appropriate. This project does not adversely affect the health, welfare, or safety of the surrounding area. It will have no negative impact on the surrounding property values and will have no detrimental effect on the school district while generating much needed revenue for both the school district and the county. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. Schaefer from council? If not, I believe we'll turn over to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Yes, sir.
Nice. Very nice.
Good evening. My name is Peter Lowenstein. I'm a surveyor. I'm a partner in the partnership that owns the adjacent property, and this will be an improvement for the entire area. And Mr. Schaefer has proposed a nice project, but he proposed three conditions, which he did not read, and I'd like to have those read, if you would, please.
Want to see a copy?
Yeah. As I said, my partners and I own Compass Point Associates, and the third condition here is that the entrance will be shared and granted to our organization, Compass Point Associates. This will include paving and improving Compass Point parking area, and the improvements will be made at the time of construction of the entrance. As long as this condition is met, my partners and I are in full support of this project. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to the application or has a question regarding it?
Before we close the hearing, should we consider the conditions or?
They certainly should. could be discussed.
Planning and Zoning Commission may, hasn't taken a vote. They may...
They've deferred.
Right, they may make a recommendation with conditions, so why don't we wait? I would say...
Well, my question to Mr. Griffin is, once they make the recommendations, will we have to reopen the public hearing? If we want to change those conditions?
No.
Here's what they did. The motion at the commission was to defer and leave the record open for a response from PLUS, and then for 10 business days after receipt of a PLUS response. So it would be my recommendation that you leave the record open until you get their recommendation, and defer until then whether you wish to take action at that time and amend conditions based on the recommendation that they actually give you.
All right. Can we make that motion now?
Make a motion we leave the record open.
Is there a second?
Second. Second.
I have a motion and a second to leave the record open and defer on application conditional use 1776. Is there any discussion?
I would just like to say I stopped by and talked to the neighbors, and I think Mr. Schaefer's done a good job. I saw the trees that have already been planted, and I just want to say that I have a lot of faith in that this will be a good project. That's all.
I assume that's a yes.
I would say yes. We should defer it.
All right, Mr. Any other Mr. Vincent to defer?
Yes.
And Mr. Wilson? To defer? Yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
CZ 1639.
This is an application of Todd Bariglio to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County. For land lying at the southwest corner of Cedar Grove Road, also referred to as Road 283, and Plantation Road, also referred to as Road 275, and to be located on 4.711 acres, more or less. The council members have before them an exhibit booklet in a three-ring binder. This one's not, so it'll fit in my folder, but same basic document, a part of the record, and was received on April 6th. The commission received comments in their public hearing on April 16th from the Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the booklet contains copies of the DelDOT comments and the PLUS comments, being the preliminary land use service. Todd Bariglio was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney from Wilson Haverick and Byard Professional Association, and Michael Ryman, professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group Incorporated, and all gave testimony. There were no parties present with stated support for the application. Mary Shockley, Brooks Freeman, and Jeff Daly were present in opposition to the application and gave testimony. That testimony is summarized in my report before council. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson made a motion, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration, to leave the record open for a final response from PLUS, and then for 10 business days after receipt of a PLUS response for written comments. And that motion carried 5-0.
Have you anything else, Mr. Lane?
I'm not quite done yet.
Okay.
Sorry, had to find them. Extra documents. Mm-hmm. On April 28th, my office received a copy of the response from the Office of State Planning Coordination on behalf of the PLUS response. It makes reference to Michael Ryman's of Becker Morgan Group's response to the state agency comments through the Preliminary Land Use Service on this project. The project was seen through the PLUS as a rezoning. The state has no objections to the rezoning of the property and noted that once the site plan was developed for the property, the owner could contact the Office of State Planning Coordination to determine if the site plan would require an additional review through PLUS. With that said, many agencies commented on items that should or should not be included in a future site plan. According to the letter, the applicant intends to develop the project as a LEED certified project with a multitude of safeguards to the environment. In addition, they have been in contact with DLDOT to discuss road improvements to the area. The state appreciates the efforts made by the applicant, and we have no additional comments regarding the rezone.
From the state?
From the, on behalf of the state through the Office of State Planning Coordination. Mm-hmm. Right. I did receive a letter from Mike Tyler on behalf of the Citizens Coalition Incorporated, and I'll pass down copies of that letter. And he asked that it be read into the record. This is the letter from the Citizens Coalition in opposition to the application, Change Zone 1639. The intersection where this site is located, being Plantations and Cedar Grove Roads, is one of the most dangerous or more dangerous ones in the area. Not long ago, a motorist was killed here, and there have been many accidents and fender benders. The property on the north side of Cedar Grove Road came before the council some years ago, and for all intents and purposes, it was slated to be developed for housing. Also, this intersection, according to DLDOT, is to be reconfigured to align with Postal Lane, and a traffic signal may be required. DLDOT has had this in its design plans for some time, and the state police and our state representatives have also raised concern about that this intersection must be fixed. As it exists now, the intersection with its outdated Z configuration and with vastly increased high-speed traffic on Plantation Road and heightened traffic on both Postal Lane and Cedar Grove Roads is unsafe. Plantation Road is extremely busy, especially in summer. In addition to vehicular traffic, scores of cyclists also use the safety of wide shoulders in both directions year-round along this road to avoid Route 1. Rezoning this property would contribute to reducing the safety factor. Rezoning will not benefit the community, either because there are ample commercial and business locations within a short distance from the site. The area is residential. For years, a near-century-old house stood on the south side corner of Cedar Grove. Just because it's no longer there doesn't qualify the site for commercial rezoning. Please note that there are no commercial or business locations from Lowe's at Beaver Dam Road to Old Landing Road. Changing this zoning would not only be entirely out of character with the surrounding communities, but it would jeopardize the health, welfare, and safety of residents adjacent to and residing within a wide area of this site. Further, it would spur a move to rezone more properties along this corridor and further jeopardize safety and reduce property values as well as our quality of life. Rezoning, when it benefits the community, is appropriate and usually supported by the community. This application, however, provides no benefit and will alter the community and what it values as a residential area. These residences are far enough from the heightened commercial Main Street we call Route 1 to remain residential and for you to share their desire to protect their residential integrity. Please respect the character of the near and surrounding communities and preserve the residential character of this area by denying this needless rezoning. Respectfully submitted on behalf of Citizens Coalition Incorporated, Michael R. Tyler, President. We also received a letter from Susan Powell, Operations Manager, YMG Corporation. It was addressed to Council. It's received today. At its next meeting scheduled for Tuesday, May 5th, the council must decide whether to approve Beriglio Corporation's planned Ocean Park Professional and Medical Center, which is to be located between Cedar Grove and Plantation Roads. On behalf of YMG Corporation, we recommend the council approval in favor of this project. YMG Corporation is a privately owned company that provides wastewater service to 611 units at the plantations and is regulated by the Delaware Public Service Commission and guarded by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. And we hope to provide our services to the planned project. Periglio Corporation has a discreet reputation to build productive, professional, and resourceful commercial facilities that not only enhance the communities it serves as a whole, but keeps on giving back to the communities by creating jobs and growth. As you may know, Sussex County is suffering from many jobless employment issues, and it is the duty of County Council to take an active and supporting role in overseeing the development of potential employment opportunities for the people of our county. This planned project is invaluable and should strongly be considered worthy. And lastly, I did receive a fax received from Mr. Vincent, or excuse me, from Mr. Phillips, and it states, since the board members of Henlopen Landing are unable to attend tonight's meeting due to other pre-scheduled commitments, we are sending you this letter in hopes that you will be apprised of our negative position on further commercial development rezoning on Plantation Road, and thanking you for your consideration of our requested vote.
I emailed you a letter from them, too.
Let me see if I find any more. I think that's all I have.
And a whole one-page letter.
That was the one that was emailed to you today? You said fax. It was an email?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it was emailed.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
That's it. I don't see the copy.
The one I emailed
is lengthy. All I got was your email. I didn't get the attachment.
Yeah, there was an attachment to it.
I know it says there was, but I didn't get one.
Okay.
Lawrence, is it your the comments from the coalition there about there were no commercial activities on the Plantation Road from Lowe's down to the Old Landing intersection or whatever it is? That's correct. I'm trying to visualize that.
The commercial zoning includes Lowe's to the intersection on the north side of Shady Lane, on the east side of Plantation Road, or the northeast side, and stops there. And there's a couple
Lowe's,
little conditional uses, but there's no commercial zoning.
There's no other commercial zoning. So that was okay. I couldn't remember if that was correct or not. Okay.
And the other side, there's no commercial zoning on that.
On the southwestern side of Plantation Road.
Yeah, so all residential.
There's a couple of conditional uses, small. Brooks Freeman has his little produce site that he operates twice a year.
Got to have that.
And there was a doctor's office approved, and there was a multifamily project approved that didn't get developed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a church yet to be built, and there was also, I believe, offices that were supposed to be built near the church site, but that's not been built either.
Okay.
So I have to check today. That may be void now.
Conditional use.
Right.
And the engineering department, we're not servicing the sewer service. It was a private sewer service. Is that right?
The engineering office comments that the site's located in Gosley Creek planning area, that Ordinance 38 construction will be required, that the current system connection charge rate is $4,132 per EDU. The service has not been extended to this area at this time. The site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. That conformity to the North Coast Area Planning Study will be required. That connection to the sewer system is mandatory. That annexation to the district is possible following completion of certain administrative procedures. That the project could receive sewer following an extension of sewer lines to the parcel and completion of certain downstream upgrades by the developer or others. That the proposed development will require a developer installed collection system in accordance with county standard requirements and procedures. That the county engineer must approve the connection point, and that the county engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval prior to requesting annexation. In summary.
How far, we don't know how far away the connection, closest connection is, did we?
No, there's a pump station right across the intersection.
There is.
At Postal Lane.
Okay.
Next to Adelaide Estates.
Mm-hmm. All right. I know where you mean now. Right.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang?
Should I try and get that letter? I think it's maybe back in my office.
It's deferred. We might. You have time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll just put the letter in later from Hanlop and Laney.
If there's nothing else for Mr. Lang, we'll call the applicant up.
Good evening, Mr. Phillips, members of the council, Ms. Deaver. My name is Dennis Schreiner. I'm an attorney from Georgetown, and I represent the interests of the Viriglio Corporation, which is the applicant here this evening in this change of zone. I have with me Todd Viriglio and Mike Ryman, who will be, Mr. Ryman will be speaking later on about some of the technical data that is involved in this project, and I also have with me Jeff Bross from Duffield, who's sitting in the back of the room. I would like to review with you this application for a neighborhood business and give you some additional thoughts. The property that this is located on or proposed to be located on is currently owned by Christ Church and is under contract with Mr. Viriglio. The property is located at the southwest corner of Plantations Road and Cedar Grove Road.
And for those of you who can see this particular map, it's this yellow hatched area right here. Mr. Cole, you asked a question about the sewer and right across the road. And the fact is the county pump station that is associated with the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach District. Mr. Tyler made reference to, and Mr. Cole followed up with questions about whether or not there were any other commercial activities located on Plantations Road, and I think the distinction needs to be made that we're, one, not looking for CR1 commercial activities, we're looking for neighborhood business, and two, Mr. Tyler and his riding of bicycles up and down Plantations Road missed a few things. For instance, there's a church, there's a beauty salon, a small engine repair shop, the entrance to a borrow pit, propane storage tanks, a wastewater treatment plant, a well site. There's windswept where the site where windswept stables used to be.
Where's the wastewater treatment plant?
Right on the Plantations Road with the plantations.
Oh, you're talking about the one that they had, they used to use there. Okay.
The one that they still have there. Mm-hmm. You have an MRRPC. You have Matthew Weidman's conditional use for towing and storage of motor vehicles.
Not on Plantation Road.
Ma'am, it's only maybe 200 feet from Plantation.
That's right, then you should say so.
Well, thank you for helping me with that.
Keep them straight.
I think it'd be good to let the applicant make their presentation, and then we'll ask questions, maybe a little more smoothly.
Well.
Continue, Mr. Schrader, if you
I'll be glad to entertain Ms. Deaver's comments if you'd like to continue your question.
Mr. Griffin made it clear we'd like you to finish your presentation.
Yes, we would.
The acreage is 4.711 acres. It's located on one tax map parcel. It's currently vacant. The proposal, again, is for a B1 neighborhood business, and the idea is to have professional and general offices there. For the two boards that we have with us tonight, you can see a proposed application of how this site would be developed as professional and general offices. This site is located in a low-level, environmentally sensitive developing area within the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan that we have refers to various growth areas. And in the developing areas, they are often located near main arterial roads that connect major destinations within the county and are adjacent to municipalities. And I think it's easy to see from that definition that the major arterial road here is not the Plantation Road, but it would be Route 1. Similarly, the permitted uses that are in these developing areas are appropriate for where there are developing areas are single-family homes, townhouses, multifamily units, and some small variety of offices are appropriate in this area. And this is in your comp plan at page 3-15. Also, if you take a look at the table that's associated with that section. The table provides that in the low to medium density areas, whether it's an environmentally sensitive developing area or in a medium density area with a developing area in it, In both cases, the applicable zoning district in Table 8 of the comp plan states that a neighborhood business district is appropriate. Within the context of the state strategies map, it's in a level 3, and that is an area where it is defined that the state expects growth to occur. We have submitted to you and to the Planning Commission a number of documents that are contained in the exhibit book that set forth many of the things that we feel that are beneficial to this site as a B1 area and would support our application. Also included in this book is a reference to the environmentally sensitive developing area criterion. And although this site is less than the minimum threshold that would require us to give you an analysis of those things, we have provided it in this book in any event so that you can see that it's my client's intention to provide a facility that will meet all of those criteria. What I'd like to do now is to invite Mr. Ryman to the stand. Mr. Ryman is a professional engineer with Becker Morgan. He's going to describe for you the site, the surrounding areas, the present use of the property, the proposed use, how the site will affect the area, and responses to both PLUS, DelDOT, ESDDOZ, and the sewer and water issues. Mike?
Good evening.
Good evening.
As Dennis stated, my name is Mike Ryman. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware. Work for Becker Morgan Group. Our address is 309 South Governors Avenue in Dover. I just want to expand a little bit on what Dennis mentioned about the site. We are located at the corner of Cedar Grove Road, Plantation Road. We are surrounded by a multitude of development that has occurred over the years, a mix of medium density residential and high density residential zone. We are in proximity to the BB Medical Center located on Route 24, which is also adjacent to a conditional use Aurora development that was recently approved. There is significant commercial development along Route 1, which is shown here. We've highlighted some of those in red. Actually, the majority of this is commercial zoning. Want to be clear that we are not requesting a commercial zoning tonight. There's been lots of references and letters and statements from the opposition that we are a commercial development. We are, in fact, a neighborhood business development, a neighborhood business zoning, and we believe that our development is within the neighborhood and in keeping with the character of the development, of the developed area. The Sussex County Pump Station is located on the corner. Matter of fact, this property here is within the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sewer District, as well as the areas over here. So we are literally adjacent on two sides to the sewer district. And in conformance with what the engineering department has stated, we would be requesting to be annexed into that sewer district in accordance with their requirements. I'd like to take a minute just to go through some of the maps that we have within the book, starting with tab 2.5. Tab 2.5 represents the state strategies for spending. And when you look at this map, you will notice that our project is within a significant growth area in the context of broader Sussex County. And we feel that that's the reason that this rezoning is appropriate. Turning to tab 2.6, the existing land use furthers that point. Again, within areas which have existing land uses consisting of commercial development, residential development, and this being a neighborhood business zoning request, we feel that that is appropriate. Flipping to the next page, the future land use map, as Dennis mentioned, this is within the ESDDOZ zone and within the low-density developing area. And as pointed out by Dennis, the comprehensive plan under table, I believe it was 3.8, calls for that area to consist of B1 zoning, or B1 zoning would be appropriate within that particular area. Currently, the site is vacant. It was a church at one point. It's currently a vacant piece of property. What we are proposing beyond our B1 zoning tonight, I would like to take a little bit of time to talk about what we would be proposing if we were successful. We do realize that this is a zoning decision before you tonight. This is not a site plan decision, but we would like to tell you what we would be proposing if we were successful in the rezoning. What we would be proposing is a 45,000 square foot professional medical office complex consisting of two buildings shown on the boards below.
the two buildings creating sort of a campus feel and consisting of a LEED certified project, as Mr. Lank mentioned. I want to tell you a little bit about that. A LEED project is simply a method of sustainable design which reduces impact to the environment. There are actually four levels of LEED certification. There are LEED certified, silver, gold, and platinum. Our goal is actually to do a platinum building. This would be one of the first in Sussex County, and we're extremely excited about that. Our project will actually, as a result of the LEED certification, will use less water, less energy, and also generate less sewer, and ultimately be a better project for the environment. We hope be a leader of development in Sussex County. As far as effect on adjacent properties, we believe that this project will actually be a benefit to the surrounding area by providing services in close proximity to the residents that live there, such that residents don't have to go out onto Route 1 to get services. As we all know, there's traffic on Route 1, and this will help to mitigate some of that. In reference to the opposition letters from the various residents, specifically Mr. Tyler's letter from the Citizens Coalition, we actually agree with Mr. Tyler. The intersection is unsafe. And in fact, we have had multiple discussions and meetings, most recently in February with DelDOT, regarding the realignment of that particular intersection. At one point in time, there was a project proposed at this location known as the Cedar Grove Estates Project, identified by this property as the MR Zone, 48-lot single-family development. And that the alignment that DelDOT proposed at that time is shown in blue. We simply regurgitated that on the plan. So that is a project that DelDOT has interest in. We've been meeting with them regarding that alignment and are actually contributing financially to a portion of that project to ensure that it does take place. In addition, we have met with them regarding the possibility of a shared stormwater management facility. So they're very anxious about our project, and we're excited about working with them to see that through. In addition to Mr. Tyler's comments, he had mentioned concerns about pedestrians along Plantation Road and mentioned that there are some residents that bike up and down Plantations Road and walk, jog, that kind of thing. Our project and would actually be proposing a 10-foot wide bike pedestrian path along the Plantation Road frontage of the project, in addition to a 10-foot dedicated right-of-way. So we think that this project would be in keeping with those desires to provide off-road pedestrian movements. We don't agree with Mr. Tyler that this project is not in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. In his letter, he mentions that commercial, and this project is not a commercial project. This project is a neighborhood business project, a business professional medical office development located within a neighborhood area. This project has gone through the PLUS process, as Mr. Lank mentioned. That is located within 2.15, tab 2.15 of your book, the appropriate responses. And as Mr. Lank mentioned, there was no objection from the state to the requested rezoning. We have also responded to the ESDDOZ requirements. They are located in tab 1.4 of your book. I'd like to take just a few minutes to go down through each of those. I do want to point out that this project is actually not required to respond to the ESDDOZ because it's proposed to be less than 75,000 square feet. However, given our desire to prepare a project or design a project that is exceptional in terms of environmental safeguards, we felt that it was appropriate that we respond to these comments anyway. Having said that, I'll go through them. The first is item A, which refers to how we are going to address drainage design, reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus. At this point, our project is proposed to utilize a host of green technology processes, including underground infiltration, bioretention, pervious pavers, and those kinds of things to infiltrate stormwater. I want to point out that this project is actually located within the Inland Bays watershed, which was one of the first watersheds to institute TMDL requirements, which set regulations or requirements regarding nitrogen and phosphorus reduction. So it would actually be a requirement by DENREC that there be certain reduction requirements of nitrogen and phosphorus, and we can comply with that. Item number B refers to the proposed method of providing potable water. We actually have a letter, and it's in your book, from Tidewater. We're in Tidewater's district. There is a 12-inch water main that runs right out in front of the site. And we would be proposing to tap into that. The letter from Tidewater is an ability to serve our project letter. So Tidewater has committed to get us water. Letter number C refers to wastewater treatment. And Dennis hit that pretty well, but just to expand on that, the comments from your engineer are in the packet, and we would be requesting to connect to the existing pump station that is literally a stone's throw away from our project. And we would make any upgrades required by your engineering staff. Item number D, analysis of the increased traffic and effect on surrounding roadway system. Again, we believe that this project is actually going to help mitigate and correct an existing safety issue with the Z intersection that's created by contributing financially to the realignment by providing pedestrian movement options with ped paths and what have you. Item number E, the presence of any endangered or threatened species. To our knowledge, no such species exist on site. Item number F, regarding wetlands, there are no wetlands on the property. Item number G, provisions for open space. This project's a neighborhood business development, and as such, open space actually is not required. But I do want to point out that we have taken a lot of steps in some of our initial planning to provide lots of green space. We're actually proposing some green roofs. We're proposing some understory parking, such that we can provide as much green space on site, create kind of a campus feel, and a nice project for the neighborhood. Item number H, a description of provisions for public and private infrastructure. All the infrastructure would be funded by the developer. Item number I, economic, recreational, and other benefits. We believe that this project would provide a host of economic benefits to Sussex County. Namely, the rezoning would actually increase the property tax assessment and increase the property taxes to the county. We believe that there will also be a transfer tax of about $18,000 that will be paid, $9,000 which will be paid to the county. We project that this project is approximately a $7 million project and will result in approximately 150 employees during the construction phase, including various trades and subs. Following construction, once the facility is built, we would estimate somewhere around 60 employees being employed at the facility. In addition, there will be impact fees paid to the county. Based on the current rate of $4,000, it's approximately $200,000 that would be paid to the county in form of impact fees. Item number J, the presence of any historic or cultural resources. To our knowledge, there are no historic resources on site. There was a mention in the PLUS report about a cemetery. There is a cemetery that is actually located, and I'll just point to it. At this location, which is actually, there is a parcel separated between our property and the cemetery. So the cemetery is not actually adjacent to our property, which is how it is referenced by the Department of Historic and Cultural Affairs in our report. We did agree to put up some screening along that particular side as requested. Item K, an affirmation that the proposed application and mitigation measures are in conformance with the comprehensive plan. Dennis, as he mentioned, this project is in conformance with the comprehensive plan. There are, I think, three different locations where it mentions that this particular site would be appropriate as B1, specifically Table 8 on page 321 of the comp plan. And then lastly, item I, actions to be taken by the applicant to mitigate the detrimental impacts identified relevant to subsections A. As previously mentioned, this project is proposed as a LEED project. We're extremely excited about that. LEED, in terms of LEED, is actually a unique process and project and provides a multitude of safeguards towards the environment. We're contributing towards the realignment of the road. That's clearly mitigating an existing issue. With that, I will turn it back over to Dennis, and I will be available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Is the only site plan, Dennis, or is this picture here, this conceptual drawing of, you don't have any other layout? Is there one in here?
Yes.
No, there's the...
Not in this book.
In that book, sir, no. There.
Okay. Nobody hand one out, or sir? We didn't get, like, a... One of these didn't. No. Okay, you don't have something showing other than that picture down there, right?
No, that's the site plan that we currently have. That was a rendering. That
conceptual rendering.
It's a conceptual rendering.
Okay.
1.4.
Okay. Well, help me understand. Now we're looking at rezoning.
Yes,
that's correct.
So whatever, if it were to be rezoned, it's forever, and any of the uses under B1 could be could be done to that property once it got rezoned, no matter what you say your plans are. I mean, you could turn around and sell it tomorrow after it's rezoned, and could be something different. If I help me understand, is that correct?
In the hypothetical, Ms. Deaver, the answer is yes. You are quite correct.
Okay. Thank you. I'm new, so I just, you know.
But if you let me just finish answering. This project has been underway for about 3 years. We didn't just come in a couple months ago with an idea to make this into something. The project has been around for 3 years. There's been a significant amount of expense employed to go through the various regulatory agencies that get us where we are today. It's been our client's representation to both Mike and me and to everybody who's talked about this all along that the board that you see is what he wants to build. We may be able to do what you say, that is, come in with a B1 and turn around and give it to somebody else.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm new.
But on the other hand, we're also would be fools to come in and do that because we come back every couple of weeks.
This is all you've been working with all these agencies?
No, we've actually had other site plans that have worked with a...
This doesn't show anything.
If you'll let me answer, there have been footprint plans, Mr. Cole, that have been submitted. At one time, my client actually had under contract the property on the other side of Cedar Grove Road, but that contract fell through earlier this year, and so it is not part of this project. And at that point in time, we were close in onto having these public hearings. There were meetings held with DelDOT as late as February of this year to discuss the circumstance in which we found ourselves. And at that time, my client, generously, I think, proffered to either pay for the improvements to the Cedar Grove Road Plantations intersection and then enter into a cost reimbursement plan, which is currently common with DelDOT, or in the alternative to pay whatever his proportionate share of the funds are to DelDOT and let DelDOT pay for it.
Yes.
As Mike Tyler points out in his letter, now that you got me on a roll, and I know we're both interested in traffic, we may have different views, but we both are interested in traffic. As Mike points out, this is not a good intersection. I don't think there's anybody in this room that will concede that this is a good intersection. And as Mike points out, it needs to be rebuilt. And DelDOT has told Mike and have told us it's going to happen.
We're aware of DelDOT's plans.
Well, but we need to get that on the record for this evening.
Do you have any correspondence with DelDOT saying that you will pay for those improvements?
Yes, sir. They're in the book.
It's actually referred to as tabs 2.12 through 2.14. The last correspondence is tab 2.14, which is the DelDOT. We refer to it as the DelDOT letter of intent, which is the letter from Mr. Briglio, which articulates the two options that we propose to them.
And that letter was provided to DelDOT at DelDOT's request.
And help me understand, somewhere along the line, I thought that he was the owner of the other parcel, so that didn't happen. Huh?
Did not happen. Okay. That property is currently zoned MR and is subject to an RPC application that may have expired or will soon expire.
Okay, thank you.
How many square feet total you're proposing?
Approximately 45,000.
45,000? Because you compare it to these other, like, beauty salons and other things. I mean, neighborhood business, 45,000 square foot neighborhood business. I do agree that a beauty salon and a small engine repair and things like that are neighborhood business, but you know, 45,000 square feet is substantial, and the drawing doesn't even look, again, like what you would conjure up in your mind if you asked somebody to describe what a neighborhood business would look like. I don't think they would describe it to look like this picture you've got. Why didn't you propose a conditional use, possibly, Dennis? Is there a reason why? Because this is pretty open-ended, you know, and it being the first change of zone on Plantation Road, sometimes the first one's difficult. Why did you make it so difficult for an application?
This application was filed as a B1 at the choice of the client, and secondly, it is permitted and encouraged under your comprehensive plan.
If the the reason the alignment hasn't taken place is why?
The realignment?
The realignment of the road. Why haven't we seen anything there? Because didn't we approve a subdivision?
That it was not a subdivision. It was an MRRPC, Mr. Cole.
Okay.
That gentleman defaulted. My client then was the contract purchaser of the property after the defaulting MRRPC. And by defaulting, I mean defaulting on his contract, not on his RPC.
Okay, so we had high hopes of getting that realignment with that application. Now we have another application with some high hopes. what makes us, why are we to believe that a change of zone, which is, again, just a conceptual, what we've heard here is all conceptual, why should we have so much confidence that this will be built when right now demand on some of these type of services maybe are not what they were before? And did you do any marketing studies that show that? Do you have any clients that are willing to jump into this place?
I think you've passed through three issues and one question. So if I can work backwards, let's try this on for a second.
Okay.
First off, my client is a reasonably prudent businessman, and in doing his due diligence, identified this as a viable need for the area. Without getting into a lot of detail, Mr. Culp, the BB Medical Campus and the Robinson Surgical Center.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are all of this.
That's a lot of square footage there, right?
Well, that is, but that's also under the use and control of the BB Medical Center. It's not available for private. So really, we're only 4/10 of a mile from a corner of the intersection where those facilities exist. So that need is there. Second thing, at least about with the road, and I think
it's deep. The BB Medical Center's project, have they maxed out and they're filled up?
I don't think they've maxed out, but that's the hospital's project. It is not something that's the cancer center, I believe, and some other facilities, but it's not intended to be leased out to medical physicians. But having said that, it's still not only medical offices, it's also general professional offices. It could be others that could go in there. Working backwards, I believe you touched upon whether or not the state or whomever will build this intersection. They're going to build the intersection. Whether we're there or not, they're going to build the intersection. Mm-hmm. The question is whether or not there will be people there to fund it. That alone is not a good criteria for the determination of a change of zone, but it is something that we have proposed that we are willing to do.
But you're the only commercial change of zone in that on that stretch. Was Mr. Tyler correct in that?
No, on the other side of Postal Lane, there was
some conditional uses.
There was Heritage Village was proposed, which was a commercial that was pulled recently for Plus for some reason, and is, I assume, will come back. That's part of the Derrickson project where the golf course is. You have a couple tracts of land on further down Cedar Grove Road that I know are interested in subdivision or developing as residential real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to reiterate, we're not requesting a commercial.
B1 is a commercial district, sir.
Road business.
So it's not residential, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's business means commercial in my, again, and I think the way we look at it is, unless I'm mistaken, somebody correct me, but I think a business, B1 is a commercial district. It's not a residential district, correct?
But it does have a residential element to it.
It's not designated. It's not in its title referred to as commercial. It's called neighborhood business.
It's a distinctive zoning classification.
I know, but I understand what it means.
It's a less intensive version of
right.
What's allowed.
And Mr. As we debate this, Mr. Griffin points out something that's significant, because if you take a look at CR1, Mr. Cole, CR1 talks about large shopping centers and large office parks. Think Route 1 and think of Route 24. But if you look in the context of your comprehensive plan for this particular area, what we're talking about is retail and offices. That's a different, it's a matter of scale. Now, you go back into the market analysis, and there's just one more thing I want to touch upon before we get into whatever the next series of questions are, and I think I've touched on all the things you brought up. And that is, and you probably are seeing it as these applications go forward, is that there is a swing away from demand for residential applications and more professional offices, commercial, and the kind of support applications are being brought to you in order to serve the population that's been approved for the plantations or any one of the MRRPCs that are along Plantation Road or any of the other areas.
Any other questions from council?
I was just asking Mr. Lank what are some of the things under that are allowed under B1. And
I can read them if you want. It's not,
yeah, that would
not
be great.
That would
be great because you do a lot better job than I.
It's same or similar uses. The B1 neighborhood business district permits automatic ice distribution stations, automobile parking lots and garages, banks, drive-in or otherwise, bakeries, retail, barbershops, beauty shops, bicycle sales and repairs, catering and delicatessen business, clinics, dry cleaning and laundry, filling stations, flower shops and greenhouses, frozen food lockers for individuals or family use, hospital or clinics for small animals, laundromats or self-service dry cleaning, offices, general business or professional, private clubs, lodges or meetings, radio and television broadcasting, restaurant, shoe repair, shops for sale, service, repair of appliances, office machines, etc., stores and shops in general, telephone stations, undertaking business, studios for artists, photographers, teachers, etc., and it's a limitation not to exceed 75,000 square feet. The general one difference between a C1 commercial and neighborhood business, it does not permit used car sales, boat sales, automotive sales, many storage. It allows storage for accessory to a business. And what's the other one?
Well, there also are 50-some itemized permitted uses in a CR1, which was the old C1. As opposed to 20-some, I think it's 27, 28.
Yeah, what happens is the B1 district is the most restrictive business commercial district that we have.
We only got two.
And all the C1 uses and CR1 uses are not permitted in the B1, but the B1 uses are permitted in the CR1 and C1 districts.
Is it everybody, can we all agree that it is a commercial district?
No.
No.
It's a neighborhood business district, Mr. Cole. By definition, okay, by no definition of your very own ordinance, it says neighborhood business.
I just wanted to hear if you would say that. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Welcome. I'm wondering who sounds more foolish, but that's okay. That's another thing.
Does council have any more questions before we open this up to the public? Does the applicant have any more comments?
I just had one last comment. I just want to point out for the benefit of the record, I think we've covered most of the points either in our presentation or in the dialogue that we've had with the council, but just to point out that this is consistent with the comprehensive plan as set forth in the sections that I've shown you in the future land use. It does meet the purposes of the B1 district, and we're talking about retail and office of a small scale, not the larger shopping center or office park type thing. We received letters of no objection from DelDOT and have agreed to financially support the rebuilding of the intersection. And we received letters of no objection from PLUS as a result of the review and our comments in the second PLUS letter that we have gotten back. In the long run, what you're looking at is a fairly expensive project as things go these days when there's a diminished economy. We're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 to $8 million. We're talking about a fair amount of employment in the construction industry. We're talking about permanent employment on this site, and we're also looking at something that will be proximate to the BB Medical Center campus that will provide some services to the Plantations Road community without the necessity of either crossing Route 1, going on Route 1, or going into Lewis to get it.
Mm-hmm. One more time, the difference, why you didn't do CU versus B1 one more time, why you chose to do B1?
It was chosen by our client to go with the B1, okay. And it is permitted and encouraged under a comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of the application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Okay.
Oh,
we'll just start.